Hello and welcome to Glimmer of Genius, episode 15. This podcast is all about Magic the Gathering, all the latest happenings, tournament reports, what's winning at the moment, tips, deck ideas, and even a little bit of financial discussion as well. My name's Luke and I make YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David and cardboard trader Simon Wright. So I've seen Simon once already today, which was enough. So Grant, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
I am also well.
Good stuff. So this last week, very excited for the new set, Ixalan. I myself have actually managed to attend a pre-release for the first time in, well, I think the last one I attended was Khans of Tarkir.
Blimey. Yeah. And you call yourself a magic player.
I know, it's quite bad, isn't it? I just haven't been free. A lot of the time I have to work. Also, the September set falls around, and I can say this because Laura will never listen to the podcast, but it falls around the first time that Laura and I sort of got together. So it's kind of like a little anniversary thing. So that came out wrong.
Yeah, what anniversary is it?
Not the wedding anniversary, like when we first sort of met, which I can kind of get away with now because we've got the wedding anniversary. So I've kind of said I'm not having two anniversaries. We can do stuff, but like, basically, I want to go play Magic. That's what it comes down to. So it's always, I've not, like the September one has been very difficult. Also, my birthday's on the 29th of September. So there's always stuff happening around that pre-release. So I very, very rarely ever get to go to the September pre-release. And then the other months of the year.
That sounds the perfect excuse. It's my birthday, I'm going to play pre-release.
This time around, it worked. Normally, it doesn't. But I said I want to draft on my birthday. I went and actually did a booster draft on my birthday. So yeah, nice. I was very pleased with that. Actually playing Magic on my birthday. It was awesome. As for the rest of what I've been up to playing Magic, I've managed to do quite a few drafts of the new set, in fact. I did a sealed online as well. And it's really funny, like whenever I'd put together what I think is an amazing deck. So I've made like a couple of dinosaur decks online between drafting and sealed. And they've been insane. I've had the white dinosaur that taps when you attack. I had the red-white planeswalker. I've been like, just really good dinosaur deck, basically. And I'll go like 1-2. And then I'll draft like a mediocre pirate deck and I'll go 3-0. And I don't really understand what's happening there. But I just seem to be having these weird experiences with drafts at the moment. But the set is really good. And a little bit of modern playtesting, but nothing. Haven't really, because of Nats, and then after Nats, there was sort of obviously the new set coming out. I haven't really played as much standard. I've kind of been waiting to see what will happen with it rather than play it. I know a lot of people, they like to kind of get the last hurrah in of the FNM before standard, but I kind of had the opposite kind of feeling when it gets to the last bit of standard, unless I've been particularly enjoying it. The only time I've really done that, when I was playing Rally the Ancestors, I don't know what it was about that deck. I just absolutely loved it, and I wanted to play it as much as I could. I keep asking, do you think Rally the Ancestors would be good in Modern? Everyone keeps telling me to shut up, but I want to.
Well, in Bronze, but that's still going to kick off.
Yeah, they got good grave hate now, though, with that stupid crook. That's the problem. True. The drafts that I've done have been quite fun. Best deck I drafted was a green-white dinosaur deck. I managed to get three of the tappers and yeah, that was quite fun. And the flying, the one that when it comes into play pumps the thing and gives it flying, that was good.
That's what I've been up to in the week of Magic. What about yourself, Grant? You mentioned you were doing some judging recently.
Yeah, so I judged two PPTQs. One was at Comic-Con in Chichester. The other one was just an Eastbourne. Fairly small in numbers of people and stuff, but they both went pretty smoothly, and I think people had fun playing stuff. You know, the most noticeable one was that to make sure that in both cases, my judge announcement that I made it clear the hostage taker has now been errated.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's. And that's the other creature that was happening for the combo. And the other one being about that policy change they made about, you know, stuff like Path to Exile, where you have to check if the opponent is doing something or not. And I thought, you know, it being, you know, limited, that it wouldn't have anything. But apparently that card settled the wreckage. Yep. That's the same thing. Oh, and also something I didn't know, which they've added in as of Ixalan. If you're drafting on release weekend, you'll land an extra 15 minutes for deck construction.
Ah,
wait, what?
Yeah, so normally for a limited, well, what's recommended anyway, for Limited is you have 20 minutes for deck registration and then half an hour for deck construction. But someone reminded me at the event that this was recent. I had a look on the release notes and stuff, and they were right. And yeah, so 20 minutes for registration, and they recommend 45 for deck construction if it's the release weekend, which obviously it was this weekend. So they had a bit more time to construct the deck, which was, I think, was quite useful.
I think 45 minutes for deck construction should be normal anyway.
Half yeah, that's an hour, not I've never long. Had any issue with it, but I think that's definitely wise for a release weekend. So I think that's quite a good idea, to be fair.
I really hate it. All the bloody seal GPs I've gone to every time. So you're supposed to register your deck, register your card pool, sort it into order and hand it over. Every time I've done it, there's been some knob end.
Yeah.
Sorted my pattern. It's just a mess. And I've had to spend the first 10 minutes sorting it back out to check that all the cards are there.
Yeah.
So I've only actually got 20 minutes to try and build a deck. It's BS.
I've always been quite lucky recently that people seem to be very efficient with it. They colour sort and they do it properly.
That's what they should do.
Yeah. People are not very clever though, that's the problem.
I'm pretty sure one pool I got back and the guy shuffled it before handing it to me.
Oh.
He called a judge over and they just go, eh. Nothing.
Wow.
Right, how about you give him a game loss for being a douche?
the only other thing I've been up to was I think I played a bit of casual standards on the pre-release. Which was good. Now I've updated it to be, well, new standard, obviously, stuff rotating out. I'm playing the God's Gift deck.
Yeah.
I made a new one that's called Blue White, which is updated with the new stuff fairly well. Like, you lose Mausoleum Wanderer, but there's that Siren Storm Tamer, which basically does the same thing. And it's another one and fly, which is great. But as of, well, we'll talk about it in a bit, the deck list you sent us, Luke, there's an Esper list, which I was thinking about putting Hostage Taker in. But so this Esper list is probably going to be inspiring me to change my God's Gift deck in a bit, I reckon.
Yeah, it seems pretty good, but we'll dive into that in a bit. You said it was at Comic-Con, the PPTQ at Comic-Con?
It's just a small-scale Comic-Con thing. That was all booked out. There's some people doing like other board games and Warhammer and stuff as well. But yeah, there was like a costume component to it as well, so people had to the entry for the PPQ was £30, but you technically had to pay £40 because you had to pay £10 to get into the Comic-Con first.
Oh,
that was a good costume. The best one I saw, which I think did win, was someone dressed as Hellboy, and it was fantastic. Like, it had the coat, had the gun, had the fist, had the tail. It was very, very good. There was also someone dressed as Pac-Man, just sort of running around just randomly munching stuff, but it was a very good costume as well.
Picking Smarties off of the floor. Whacka, 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 whacka.
Okay then, Simon, what about you? What have you been up to recently?
Well, we've had pre-release, obviously. The shop decided to do a special promotion for Ixalan. So whenever you made treasure, you got a chocolate gold coin. And on the back of six of them was an X, and we got a special goodie bag if you won one of those. But of course, that means Muggins here spent all of Saturday running around giving out treasure. Pre-releases are quite big. It's like 30 people normally. You can make a lot of treasure in this set. So it's like two or three of us running around giving out treasure all day. And there was one kiddie that he was quite a young kiddie. I don't know how exactly old he is. He must be like 8 or so. And he just made a deck generate treasure. And he was like getting like 20 gold coins a game. His plan worked though. He got a goodie bag in the end. And I went, right, okay, you can only bring one goodie bag now. So, you know, you can only just get, you can have chocolate if you want, but you can't get any more goodie bags. I'm trying to think, he'll just be like, okay, that's fine, I'll finish now. I literally stepped to turn my back, like, treasure. Oh, here's more coins. But it was good, everyone had fun, but yeah, it was a hassle to run that one.
Yeah, I bet.
I got to plan the Sunday. And I built, it's really annoying because I did a lot of blue-black rares. And my primer was blue. I also been the red-white planeswalker. And the dinos just look so much better. So I played dinos. And then we've done second pre-release and then dinos again. Not as strong, but every time the pool just seems so much better than playing the blue-black pirates or the merfolk.
Mm.
You just play big fatties and run them over.
Yep.
Also got to do two drafts. And the first one I sat down going, don't do dinosaurs. Don't do dinosaurs. But I've been Star of Extinction. I was like, oh. If I play this, it means I'm going to be red-green fatties just to get the ramp up into order to play if I want it. So I was searching the pack just for anything else not in red or green to play. And my second pick would have been Favourable Winds out of that pack.
And that would have taken me in a totally different direction. It just didn't cut the mustard. So I went red-green dinosaurs again in the first draft. But the second draft, I finally took a total different turn and played Merfolk. And I've got to admit, it's a lot more powerful than dinosaurs.
Oh.
Like, stupidly strong.
But how many of the Merfolk rares did you get there? Or uncommons? Did you get the guy that puts counters on stuff?
Open the blue lord. Not the lord, but the one...
Unblockable.
It costs the mana to target your Merfolk.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. I had to pass it because there was a foil Ripjaw Rapture in the pack. Which I did play. I still played it because I was blue-green. But yeah. it was worth like probably at least 5-6 times more than the Merfolk guy.
Yeah. The Rapture is... Yeah, and it's also a good card.
And it is very good.
Yeah.
I had lots of two-drop Merfolk, and then two of the new instant spell that gives a +1 to target creature and target Merfolk.
Very nice.
You can just put 2+1 counters on a Merfolk.
That is good.
And smash it in.
I don't know if I feel like that the Merfolk deck is more powerful than the dinosaur deck. I suppose it depends what pieces you get in either scenario, but if you get the right pieces in the dinosaur deck, you can just have like turn 3 Monstrosaur, charging Monstrosaur.
Which one's Monstrosaur?
5 mana, 5/5 of Trampling Haste. So if you basically play the ramping humans into the dinosaurs, you can get turn 3, 5/5 of Haste. Obviously, that's magical Christmas, Andy, but it's not unlikely to have that on turn 4. With the help of the mana accelerants, the dinosaur decks can do some pretty dumb stuff. But Merfolk deck is powerful, though.
Yeah. But I think we discussed it with the Merfolk, you can end up with a 4/4 in turn 2.
No, it's good. It is good. And I like one thing I do like is the Frostlynx Merfolk as well. I can't remember his name. Water something Trapper. That's very
good. Yes. Yeah, I only had one of him. But yeah, we've done that. Got league starting. I put a bounty on the shop owner. So if anyone manages to beat him all 4 weeks, they win a masterpiece. So I'm really hoping he wins. He opens a good pool. Otherwise, it's going to be a costly promotion.
Yeah.
We've also got our PPTQ on Saturday, our modern PPTQ. So we can get ready for that as well.
Do you know what masterpiece you're going to do?
Verdra's Gear Hub.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought I'd do something standard, something good for standard, since it's a standard. Well, it's like Ixalan League, so it's like standard stuff.
No, that's good.
If I had Ixalan masterpiece, I'd do one of those. But I thought I'd go for something standard playable.
Yeah, definitely. And a masterpiece is nice. It's a nice rare thing for people to try and grab, isn't it? So, okay then. So, thinking about Ixalan Limited, Grant, I know you said you've been judging a bit more than playing at the last couple of weeks. But like, has there been anything that you've seen so far from the set that you like the look of in Limited, or are you trying out different things? And have you had a chance to actually see much of what's going on?
Limited, definitely that card settled the wreckage, seems to be doing a lot of work. I saw a lot of play with Captain Lannery Storm this weekend, because I think 2 or 3 people opened her, and there was a lot of cases, and obviously makes treasure. But what people often forget, I saw this forgotten so much over the weekend, was when you sacrifice treasure, she gets +1/+0, and there was at least 2 games I saw that could have ended a turn or 2 faster if they remembered that they could go no block, sacrifice some treasure for no reason, and give her ++.
Mm-hmm.
So she is really good in sealed, I noticed.
On Captain Larry Storm, it's quite funny. I drafted a blue-red Pirates deck last Friday. The deck was really quite aggressive. I had 3 of the 2 mana 2/2s that you can pay 2 mana to pump their power. 3 of the lightning riggers, the 0/5 walls that you can tap to do 1 damage, and a few tricks and some burn, stuff like that. I had 2 Lannery Storms, but every person I played against fully respected her and just like killed her immediately, so I didn't really get a chance to use her very much. But I always got at least 1 swing in with her, so I only really ever ended up using her as a bit of a mana accelerant, which even that was pretty good. Either like traded up or powered out something better. So I never really had a chance to actually use the treasure ability to pump. George just died.
I saw the do 2 damage to a target attacking or blocking creature. I saw that a lot of work over Limited. And apparently the instant one is actually seeing destructive play now, which is interesting, I think.
Slashing Talons?
Yeah, I've seen it in a few decks so far.
Wow.
Oh, that was an interesting one. Pious Interdiction, the 4 mana O-ring that you get to life from, basically. Well, yeah. Actually, no, it's more pacifism, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's a common. I saw that in so many decks and was a really good, like, answer to lots of different things. So I kind of like the idea of just having, like, mediocre removal, but it common so that loads of people can use it.
Yeah, it is really good. The life gain is quite annoying as well, like, especially in, like, vampire decks. They gain so much life. It just adds to it.
All the games that went to time for, like, the first time in ever, never had the blue in them. It was always the white, black vampire token decks that always got to time.
Yeah.
Just because my interactions are so complicated and you have to think so many turns in advance. But, yeah, the blue is not the slowest colour at the moment.
No, it likes to attack in this format. It really does.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, Simon? Is there anything that's standing out in the set so far?
For limited.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. There's a one mana, one red, called, I think it's called Rife or something, and it's just...
Oh, Rile.
It deals one damage to Rile, one damage to type creature you control. I think if it's a dinosaur, it gets trample. But it's sorcery speed, but you get to draw a card. You think you have it in your deck, you just think it's like mediocre, really. But I quite often used it on my own Raging Raptors, which is one within Rage, search your library for a basic land card.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
So combined with it, it was basically one mana, fetch a land, draw a card with the Raptor in play, which was pretty strong. So a good thing with our friend Jim playing online league today, the Hatchling, Dragon Hatchling in play, the one that when it's enraged, it's only a 1-1, but the enraged trigger is when it dies, when it's dealt damage, it gets a 3-3. But you first play Savage Stomp on it, give it a plus one counter, and then get it to fight, and then it fought a 1-1. So it got a 3-3 and it was still alive. I'm like, oh, yeah. Imagine if you have Rife now as well. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Get another 3-3, draw a card for one mana.
I saw Grazing Whiptail, 4-mana, 3-4 with Reach. I saw him everywhere. He seemed to be doing a lot of work.
It's just Giant Spider. We all love a Giant Spider.
Well, no, he's a bigger Giant Spider. He's a 3-4. So I really like
him. He's solid. He is really solid. If you're in green, you've got him in there. He's, I don't know what you cut. To not play him, like most of the time. The more bomby flyers, obviously you can't block, but he blocks practically every flyer in the game, outside of a Pirate's Cutlass and other shenanigans. He is really good.
Redoubled Volley or whatever it's called, that was super, super good as well. The 3 mana, 3 damage to something, but then you can raid for 5 mana, put it back in your hand, Removal in limited is just super powerful.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to playing people with that in League.
Yeah, exactly.
No. One thing I was really low on to start with was Rummaging Goblin, but in Sealed, especially, did some Sealed practice the other day, and it was just great. Like, turned all my dead draws late in the game. It's because there's quite a few board stalls in this. Well, from my personal experience, I felt the board gets gummed up quite a bit. Maybe that's just a limited thing in general. But he helps with that. Sorry?
It's never made the cut in my red-green decks, my red-green dinosaur decks.
No, I don't know if I like it as much in draft, but if it's a bit slower in Sealed, I'd never really played it as well until the other day. And it was really good, again, with the situation. When I was allowed to untap with it, I had a board stall, and I was effectively drawing 2 cards a turn and filtering out like all my dead land draws being ditched to get something more relevant. It was good, but I'm not sure. You're not rating it at the moment then?
I haven't played it. It's a looter, isn't it?
Well, technically a rummager, because it's you have to discard. And then draw. Yeah.
I could maybe see it in more of a red blue build or maybe red black. I just think red green, just the dinosaurs, you're just much better and bigger things to play.
Yeah, which I think that's where I've been with it before. Like, you look at it and you think, I'd rather play any of my other 3 drops, which are much more relevant power and toughness.
Yeah.
But I think he's gone up in my estimations, for sure. But, yeah, it's difficult to, if you've got, like, other more intimidating creatures, to not just play them.
At the weekend, I saw someone, again, I couldn't say, they were being a bit silly, but I saw someone open 2 Sanctum Seekers, so 4 mana, 3/4 vampire that gives all the other vampires life drain when they attack, and then 2 of the 1 mana 1/2 vampires that makes them lose life when it attacks.
Ugh.
And then he chose not to play black.
Fair enough.
I can't say like what are you doing, but yeah, just the idea of having like 2 Sanctum Seekers out and attacking and draining them for three is just ridiculous.
Did I ever tell you about my first ever GP?
No.
It was Nationals in Brighton, but I think they, at the time it was the Nationals and the GP. I'm not sure. It was my first ever big match. I'd only been playing for like a month. I didn't play the main event, but I sat down for a sealed event. And they said, everyone here played before, yeah? And I sort of raised my hand. And no, and everyone looked at me like I was a weirdo. And the judge kind of explained briefly, like, okay. So then I registered my pool, built my deck. And then halfway through round one, I had two judges come over and can you come here for a second?
Yeah.
I just went, is this your deck? And I went, yeah. And I went, and this is your pool? I went, yeah. And you decided to build that? And I went, yes. I said, okay, carry on. I obviously done something very wrong here. I got to admit, it didn't make me feel very good.
No. Oh, there's one other card that I really like at the moment. It looked really underwhelming at first, but it's been really, really good, both in the decks that I've played it in and the decks that I've played against, is Pirate's Cutlass.
At face value,
it doesn't look very good, but the fact that you play it with any pirate and you can equip it is really nice. And it's irritating because it helps all the crappy pirates with their low stats to trade up for all your dinosaurs if you're playing that sort of deck. I found it really good. Or if you just stick it on a flyer, it's a pain in the ass.
Mm.
So I really like Pirate's Cutlass right now. And Fell Flagship's been a nightmare as well. The 3/3, which gives all vampires plus one toughness, all pirates plus one power. And when it hits you, it makes you discard a card.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people buying them from me.
That's enough of Ixalan Unlimited, I think. Let's have a little chat about New Standard. Dallas Open. The main event was Standard Open, and then there was a Classic event as well, so I'm guessing that's some sort of thing that runs alongside it, maybe on day two or whatever. Having never been to a Star City Games event, I'm not 100% sure. But the top eight of the Standard Open, which I'll post a link to in the show notes, saw two blue-white Approach of the Second Suns in the top eight, two four-colour energy decks, one God Pharaoh's Gift, one Sultai Energy, sorry, two Sultai Energies, and one Ramunap Red. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different deck archetypes there.
That's good.
Maybe three, arguably. But, I mean, you've got, you know, a solid control deck, aggro deck, mid-range, and then, I don't know how you quantify Esper, God Pharaoh's Gift, but yeah, the Sultai Energy decks, just look at the first place one. So it's playing things like Glint Sieve, Siphoner, Walking Ballista, Long Tusk Cub, and Winding Constrictor. So cards we've seen before, but then it's splashing blue for things like Scarab God and Hostage Taker. So Hostage Taker's really broken out. I know, Simon, you said to me the other day it had spiked a bit, is that right?
Doubled in price, yeah.
Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, so what would you say? Buy Hostage Takers now?
No, you're too late.
Too late.
I almost bought some more this morning just to restock, but someone cheekily came and traded for mine the day before the spike. Bastards. And I was tempted to get some more today at £9 a pop, along with some other bits and pieces that I'd run out of, that I'd sold out of already. But I decided against it. It's already on the decline again, and so the margins weren't in it for me. So I decided not to. People just have to buy. I've still got two promos and a set of foils, so I'll just have to sell those to people instead, because that works well. Yeah. I sell foils to standard players.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting, with the exception of the Scarab God, you've got Rogue Refiner as the other thing, which is really nice. It's interesting that they're the man about, yeah, splashing blue almost entirely for Hostage Taker. I mean, Rogue Refiner's good, but it almost feels like an afterthought to me, because like the real meat is Hostage Taker and Scarab God. I mean, if you're getting multiple uses out of your Hostage Takers, it just seems pretty insane.
So what's the deal with Hostage Taker? Why is it so good? So it's when it enters the battlefield, you get to target the artifact or creature until it leaves the battlefield.
And then you can cast it with any mana.
Yeah. I did have someone cast it against me in draft. I just killed it straight away.
It's like an Ashiok on a creature, almost, if you remember. Well,
it's like O-Ring on a creature, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's more than being able to steal it and cast it. I'm just going to do Ashiok, which was crazy.
Yeah. True. If you think, like, a lot of these, especially against, like, a Teemer deck, you're going to have games that go potentially quite long unless someone steamrolls the other.
Yeah.
So Hostage Taker on their Long Tusk Cub, and then casting that is going to be good, and then using the Scarab God to get it back is just going to be insane. Like, yeah, when you've traded off so many resources throughout the game and you're getting to that point where you're just both top decking and someone's got a Scarab God and access to Hostage Taker from either graveyard, it's going to be pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And Ballista as a 4-of as well, which is pretty solid, which I think would have been potentially paying dividends against a deck like Ramunap Red, which was in second place. So it would be interesting to see what the Ramunap Red looks like. I suppose it won't be that surprising, really, because it's not really taking much of a change. It lost a couple of one drops, but then if you look at the second place deck, it's just gone with the 4 Bomac Courier, which is standard, and then had the 4 Solskjaer Mage as the other one drop. So still got 8 one drops. Earthshaker Kenras, Hazarets. This one was playing no Glorybringers main, and had 4 Glorybringers side, 1 Chandra in the main, and then just adding in Lightning Strikes and having Shock. Do you like a red deck?
I think we knew it was going to stay. It was pretty rotation proof.
Yeah. Which is why I think the four Ballistas would have been very useful. And then Blue White Approach polarizes people, this deck. So basically leaning heavily on Approach to Second Sun, which if you get to cast it twice, you win the game.
Oh, it's got 2 Gideon of the Trials in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were playing that before, but not... if you look, there's 2 decks and one of them's playing it, one of them isn't. It's nice because it's kind of like a pseudo fog early on if you got one creature on the board. Just basically removal, counter spells, and lots of card draw. One of the nice things about this deck that you can do is if you get to 7 mana... If you get 7 mana and cast Approach, and then you're able to untap, if you've got a Glimmer of Genius and any other, maybe, I don't know, Supreme Will, then you could pretty much dig to the Approach and then cast it on the turn after that, which is quite nasty. One thing I was messing around with, which isn't in this list, was, what's it called? The 5 mana Spell Swindle.
Spell Swindle, I said.
Yeah. Well, I tried out one of those in the main and one in the sideboard, and I've got Torrential Gearhulks in the sideboard like this deck has as well. And yeah, you can see where I'm going with it. I've done it once so far and it feels pretty good flashing that back, which is just insane, as you can imagine in a control deck. Spell swindling someone's Gearhulk and then and then being able to cast another Gearhulk. Like, you can chain Gearhulks, it's just insane. It might be a little bit too cute, but I don't know. And one card that I particularly like in this is Search for Azkanta as a 2-of. So I wasn't really that big on Hieroglyphic Illumination, which was they were playing sort of pre-rotation, which was like a not-so-good Glimmer of Genius because you're not scrying, but you could cycle it instead. Whereas Search for Azkanta, the new blue enchantment, is it because of the effect it gets? It's the one where you pay 2 mana at the beginning of your upkeep. You can look at your library and either put it in your bin or you can leave it on top. And then if you've got 7 cards in your grave, you can transform it into a land that you can basically cast Impulse off of every turn, which is quite nice. But it's only really good in a deck where you don't have many creatures in, because obviously you can't draw creatures off of it. So I think that will probably help to suppress the price a little bit because of it being such a niche little card in this sort of deck where you're just trying to draw through as many cards as you possibly can to either just to cast an Approach or stop yourself from dying so that you can cast an Approach. It's perfect. That's Blue-White Approach. It's pretty solid.
Have you looked at Sunbird Invocation for Approach of the Second Sun?
Someone was talking to me about this, and I wasn't sure if they were taking the mick.
I think they might be. I don't know.
This is the 6 mana enchantment, right?
Yeah.
So this cast a spell. You exile the top X cards of your library, where X is the card's convert mana cost.
You reveal them.
Reveal. And then you can put a card with X converted mana cost or less, or you can just cast that without paying mana cost.
Yeah.
So what, the idea being you cast Approach and then you immediately cast a second Approach?
Yeah.
Ah.
Layer the triggers so that you dig for the second Approach first, cast it before the first Approach you resolve from your hand.
What's the card that you were using again?
Sunbird's Invocation.
They're both cast triggers, so I think so.
So what are you saying? Cast it, and then because you've cast it, Sunbird's Invocation triggers, so then you find a second Approach, and then cast it, and because you've already cast the first one, the second one wins you the game. But if they count...
the second one won't, because you haven't cast the second one from your hand. The first one, you need the first one to win you the game, because that's the one you've cast from your hand.
Oh, if Approach...
So can you layer it so you find the second one, and it resolves, and then the first one is... The first cast trigger is still on the stack, and it's like, okay, you have cast a second one, so it resolves.
Let me see the wording of it.
And you win the game. I'm not sure. I think there's a different way to win it.
No, I think you're right. I think, yeah, you'd cast the first one, and then the trigger happens, so then you get a second one. You cast the second one, and then that just does its thing, goes back in the library because you haven't cast it from hand, so you don't win, but you get to put it on back in your library. And then when the first one's still on the stack at this point, still being cast, and my assumption would be, as that resolves, it would check on resolution, and therefore you win.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Whee!
Yeah, so you just have to get lucky, and obviously you can't find the one you just cast, but you can get lucky and hit another one, and then you get to the first one you cast, which ultimately is the second one, you know, for what the card thinks, and then you do what the card says, and yeah, you win the game.
Paint me Timmy.
I'm sure people have tried it, and it might even be good, but
I'm sure it's not good.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It depends how slow Standard's going to be.
The issue with that is, like, how many 6+ do nothings do you want in your deck?
Right.
Well, yeah, you got to spend turn 6 playing that out and do nothing.
Turn 6 is usually spent staying alive to try and get to turn 7.
Yeah. Which is sort of approach the second song's tactics anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is my point. Playing a 6 mana do nothing and then getting hit in the face or letting, I don't know, cast anything which is bad is not good.
Yeah, I don't even think we could. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I remember someone was talking about saying, oh, the red removal is better as well. You can get some cheaper red removal, but I don't know. Seems like you say a bit of a Timmy thing. And then the other decks were effectively team of black or four color energy, whatever you want to call them. So essentially the other rotation proof deck, which was Teemer, very, very little has changed apart from the odd land. So the loss of Lumbering Falls and a couple of other random lands. If you were just scanning over this, you'd think almost nothing has changed. I don't think there's a single new card in here. Yeah, there isn't.
Rootbound Crack.
Yeah. Excellent.
Which I guess technically isn't new, but...
And they were that's the straight swap from the game trails that they were playing, so this is better than game trail, in my opinion, anyway. One thing I do think is a bit spicy, though. I don't know if you've seen this. In the sideboard, it's got two Cartouche of Ambition, which is the 3-mana enchanted creature you control. Put a -1/-1 counter on target creature, but your creature becomes +1/+1 and has lifelink. That's a weird one, isn't it?
What would you bring it in for?
Pass. Maybe it's... Oh, I know what this is for. I reckon this is for red. Red decks.
Oh, yeah.
So they tap out to hit you, and you've got almost any creature. So imagine a long tusk cub. Or whatever, and they're just like, oh, we're going to hit you and then make it so that can't block, and so whatever. And you just go, okay, I'll cast a Cartouche of Ambition, kill your X1, and swing for 4 life.
Yeah.
So actually, this isn't too bad against red, because even if you do get 2-for-1, you probably killed something, but probably terrible against anything else. The other energy deck is very, very much the same. There's a couple of differences in between them, like... Some are playing Sky Sovereign, some are playing Sweltering Suns, that sort of thing. Then we've got Esper Gift. Grant, do you want to talk about this one? You were talking about gifts. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hostage Takers in here as well. I should have bought them.
Yeah, that's annoying, actually, because then I effectively want 4 of them. Yeah, I was looking at this one, and like I said, I've been able to replace like the stuff that is rotating out for my blue-white version of this, which obviously plays the Division 1. So mine uses the Siren Storm Tamer instead of Mausoleum Wanderer and some stuff. But yeah, this one, it's got a few that I probably should have been in the original build to put this, because Walking Ballista, I did think that would be an interesting one to bring back, because a bit like I had a bit of spice and put Loose Graft Mob in, which came back as a 9-9, because it was a 4-4 with 5 on 1 counter on there.
Yeah.
With Walking Ballista, obviously it comes back to 4-4. You can then pay some mana later to put some counters on it, and of course it won't die if it's at 0-0. But what I completely overlooked is the fact that you need creatures in your graveyard. So you can just play this for 0, it goes to your graveyard. Mm. And you can also use that to trigger Gate for the Afterlife as well.
Nice.
Which I think is a really good idea. Then you've got some of the newer stuff like Boner, Butcher of Magan, or whatever nickname around Blood Baron's card's going to be called. Seeker Squire, I quite like. The 2-mana, like when it comes in Explores, I think I quite like that. Although it's 2-mana, I think it replaces the Thraven Inspector slot. A cheap guy that does something cool when it comes in. Obviously, Hostage Taker is the big thing in here, just because it's good, and also being able to bring it back and do its thing, like you were saying before. I kind of do want to build this one, but it doesn't mean I'm going to have to spend money on hostage takers and boners, and I think that's it. I just need to build some stuff, but still.
I've got some nice foil ones.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
That is good. I'm going to carry on with my blue white one, see how that goes. But I was thinking about splashing black, so if I get some hostage takers, I think I might just do that.
It's quite a light splash. I mean, you don't need the Seeker Squatter, even though it's very good. I'm sure there's other cards you could play in instead.
I think in the meantime, I might just add Walking Ballista, my other one, because obviously that's colourless. Because I really do like the tech that involves. So we'll see how that goes.
And it's also just nice to have against Red, I suppose, isn't it? And I said that earlier in the other deck. But
yeah.
There's a miserable card for them to deal with. How many Godfarer's Gift do you tend to run?
I run 3 in my one, because that's what we usually get this round. But I think actually 2 is probably fine. I did notice as well, this one doesn't run Fabricate, which is interesting.
Ah.
I'm not sure if I like that, because I do like fabricating either a Gear Hulk or obviously God's Gift. But I'm not sure. I mean, obviously this did quite well, so I think he's okay. He's put more creatures in. Like the original one, I think, ran about 20, and this one's got 26 in it.
Yeah.
I think it means he can more heavily rely on Gate to the Afterlife, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I've had so many games where my deck as well has a lot more self-mill. I've had so many games where I've just milled myself really early on and then just done turn 4 5k, get Goldfarer's Gift back, done it, you know, and I think that's almost impossible to do with just Gate to the Afterlife. So I think I would miss that, but I might try and test both lists and see what I prefer, because at the moment I do really enjoy just the deck in general regardless, so yeah.
Yeah.
Also, one of the ones I'm trying out, I'm just doing as a one-off, just have some you know, enjoyable spice in my deck, like I always do, is I've got a one of a Fleet Swallower. Because you bring it back to 4/4, it doesn't matter really what happens, because you attack, sure, they kill it or whatever, but you build them far off their library, so that's quite fun. I mean, it's the same reason why I was thinking about putting Ulamog in the first place. I mean, it's a bit rubbish, because obviously it's only a 4/4, and you wouldn't get cast trigger off of it. But just having the hex on that big cards was quite powerful, so let's see what the fish does.
The fish is hilarious.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, my only issue with this deck is I'll bet the mirror matches are horrible.
Literally the first game I played, because the thing is, I took this deck to play in Worthing a couple of weeks ago, and no one had ever seen it before. It was really enjoyable, because they were like, what? Everyone was playing like -1/-1 counters. But the first time I played this deck, like a month ago, I was playing against literally the mirror match. It was someone else who had the blue-white deck, and although it was the first time me piloting this, they'd been playing it quite a lot. I actually won that one, just because it was full of sort of good decisions and, like, you know, combat stuff, and there's like a bit of life in because of Angel, and loads of people forget about the active effect of blocks or stupidly. So I really enjoy it. It's really fun to play with, I think, and it's not too, like, initially when I saw it, I thought, oh yeah, it's really cool if you go off really quickly. But even if you don't, like, you just have lots of little guys that, you know, die, and you get some life, you get to look at some cards and discard cards, and then you eventually get to the actual combo. I really enjoy it.
Okay. So that was the top 8 for the Starseed Games Open. The final thing I wanted to show you was there was a weird deck that cropped up on the Classic. It was a mono black aggro deck. I just thought I'd share it with you both to see what you thought.
Oh, that does look aggressive.
Whoa, that's very aggressive.
So you got 4 Scrap Heap Scrounger, 4 Dread Wanderer, 3 Gifted Aetherborn, 4 Glint Sieve Siphoner, 2 Kitesail Freebooter, which is the new 2-mana 1/2 flyer, which
ends brain maggot.
New brain, flying brain maggot.
Flying brain maggot, pretty much. And then the Night Market Lookout from Kaladesh. Ruin Raider, which is the 3-mana Dark Confidant effect when you raid. Vicious Conquistador drains, or doesn't really drain, but makes them lose life when it attacks. It's just a 1/2 though. And then 1 Key to the City, 4 Fatal Push, 4 Walk the Plank, and 2...
4 Walk the Plank.
4 Walk the Plank.
4.
Yeah. What merfolk. What merfolk.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And then 2 Aethersphere Harvester. I don't know... This reminds me, this stuff. When I saw this, I looked at this, and I remember a little while ago, there was a mono-black deck, a previous standard. We all looked at it, and were like... Yeah, it looks cool, but the curve ends at like 2 or 3, and how does it really beat something like a Hydra or a Glorybringer? How does it not just lose to, like, you know, anything above cost of 4? And this deck kind of reminds me of the same thing.
It doesn't look strong enough.
No, I didn't think so, but I thought I'd share it with you, because maybe I was missing something.
Night Market Lookout, a Vicious Conquistador. I know I get the drain effects, but was that whenever it becomes tapped, that one?
Yeah, so you can crew.
That's not as bad, but yeah, it was just weak.
Yep. I had someone play the Conquistador against me in a draft. It hit me twice and then couldn't attack for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that many scenarios. So I'm just thinking, like, you play this on turn one, and then you play this Night Market Lookout again on turn two. And then someone just goes, right, I'll play a Long Tusk Club on my turn two. And then none of your things can attack it. So then you have to basically run your creatures into the 2-2. It just seems pathetic. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Definitely interesting. It came 30th, though, in this. So it obviously did something.
How many players were there?
31. I have no idea. So yeah, this is what new standard looks like. Ramanat Red, which you know about.
This isn't. It's Mono Black
Aggro. No, this is going to be right all over the place. This will be.
No. If it is, only because it's cheap.
Yeah. Ruin Raider might.
Yeah, I can see it seems to be a deck to take advantage of Ruin Raider. And that you can always attack and try and trigger it with something cheap. I think even Ruin Raider, I think you, as you said, you're going to get into board states where you just can't attack profitably. And throwing away a creature in order to attack to trigger your raid ability, lose a life and draw another shit creature.
Yeah. It doesn't seem great, does it?
Oh, unless you've got two on the board, I guess, and you can trigger it twice.
What card is this?
Ruin Raider.
Beginning of your end set, if you attach a creature this turn, you stack it how you want.
So you'd have two.
Yeah, if you have two, you'd do it twice.
Yeah, I can see that being quite strong. If you get two in play and you were drawing multiple cards, you could just out-card advantage your opponent, draw your removal spells to keep on attacking. And I guess you could just keep chucking your Scrappy Scrounges and Dread Wanderers in, actually.
Only ones you don't mind, really. It's just the other 7 1-drops that are dreadful. Red Black would be better, because you can play Bowmack Courier, which is arguably better, and has haste. And then you've got Soulscar Mage, and then you add Burn into the mix. Anyway, that was Mono Black. But other than that, I mean, the other sort of decks that we saw seems very interesting. Obviously, the ones that we knew would be there in the form of Teemer and Ramanat Red. All sorts of other bits and pieces as well. There was even a Grixis Control deck in 10th place as well.
Blair.
I know how much you love Control.
Control.
No, I think the expand looks good so far.
Yeah, I think so. I can't see a reason for anything to get banned this season yet either, so that's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not Magic related, but I've actually expanded into Star Wars Destiny.
What's it like?
I'm really enjoying it. Hence why I decided to pick it up and add it to the singles to stock.
Play Dice Masters?
I did play Dice Masters, but not enough.
How does it compare to that?
I'm enjoying it a lot more than Dice Masters.
Oh, okay. Because I really enjoyed Dice Masters. It was just not, able to find that many games about it, really.
Dice Masters is fun. This seems better. I don't know if it's just a bit Star Wars, but it's different. It is different. It seems a lot more... I can't find the word to describe it. It does feel more magic-y. Magic.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems to be a lot more strategy involved. Yeah. Give it a go. It's really good. I really liked it. I got to play a multiplayer tournament on the weekend, and that was a lot of fun. Real fun.
Is this the one where you sharked everyone?
I did, yes. First, I only played 3 games before. I turned up and won the tournament. That wasn't my intention. I just sat there the whole time. I'm new, don't attack me.
And they pitied you.
And then stabbed everyone in the back. That's how you win and make friends. Yeah, that's me done. That's all I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's cool. I think we're good then. So that is all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, give us some feedback. Search us up on Facebook and leave a comment. Follow the group and keep up to date with whenever we are sending out podcasts. We can also be found on the MTG Cast Network. That is mtgcast.com, as well as our own podcast website, which is glimmerofgenius.podbean.com. Also, if you're interested in even more Magic the Gathering content, then check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Games. Thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for more. Take care, guys.
See ya.
See you later. Star Wars Destiny. Give it a go. It's really good. I really liked it.
No, I've not even looked at it. I can't justify the time on another thing.
No, it will be another time. I haven't looked into it, but like, I was lucky enough someone lent me a nice deck to play with. I haven't had time to build my own deck. I was cracking some boxes of the new sets going through the cards. And my wife was going, what are you doing? I was just thinking about pricing cards and stuff. She was like, that's not your work face. That's your deck building face. I said, no, it's not. Just put them down. We're selling them. Oh.